continue when you pray. Pray for our children. Pray for the younger generation. Yes. Amen. Our children, our young adults, because the enemy has got a target on their backs. Yes. He wants them. But we got to want them more for the kingdom of God. Encourage them. Love on them. Amen. Speak life into them. Amen. Let's not let the enemy have them without a fight. Amen. Because if we fight, we win. Amen. You know, as it said, in order for evil to triumph, all it takes is good men to do nothing. We want to do something. So this morning, amen, we're going to continue digging into his word. And I know that, you know, these last few messages, amen, that we've been speaking, amen, dealing with love and dealing with our forgiveness. And, you know, as Pastor Linda did these last couple of weeks, was dealing with the bullseye of healing, healing hurts and wounds, amen, because those are the things that oftentimes slow us down or separate us or trip us up, amen, as we're striving to live for God, amen. So we have to deal with these things. We want to be able to be a healthy church. Isn't that right? Yes. Amen. We want to be able to be a church that, and I'm not just talking about in the building. I'm talking about in the community, on our jobs, in the marketplace, wherever we might be. Amen. We want to be able to represent Christ like he deserves to be represented. Amen. And I just had a thought, amen, real quick. I just want to acknowledge Larry's parents that are here this morning. Amen. We had lunch with them this week, and just they had us just laughing. And we see where Larry gets it from, although he tries to be serious all the time. We know better, but we thank God for them being with us this morning. Amen. But, you know, as we think about this walk and these challenges that we have each and every day, anybody have a challenge every day? Amen. If you're walking in his flesh and you really recognize this challenge is all around us. Amen. But yet greater is he is what?
In me
than he that's in the world. Amen. But see, we got to recognize, amen, that Christ has called us unto salvation and he's called us to be his representatives. What are we talking about this year? Aiming to be God's representatives. Huh? Amen. Kingdom representatives. Y'all didn't correct me, right? Kingdom representatives, amen. And see, I don't think there's enough understanding or awareness of this kingdom that we're operating in, that we're called to, amen, because we become comfortable with the systems of this world.
All right.
Amen. But we're called to function in God's kingdom. Amen, which is not of this world. Amen. He makes it very clear on several occasions. Amen. He lets us know that his kingdom is not of this earth. But see, if we don't pause and purposely recognize that we're of his kingdom, we'll continue to function as though we're under this world and its way of doing things. And that is what causes us a lot of times to have the challenges that we have. Because the two are in conflict with one another. You can't do things God's way and the world's way without there being some conflict. You know, I think about how Jesus told John, amen, when he came to him. No, I'm sorry. But he came and he said, when Nicodemus came, and he asked him, you know, he knew he was a teacher that came from God, amen. But he began to ask him questions, and the Lord told him, you know, that except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See, and then he and Nicodemus said, well, how can I be born again when I'm old? You know, and Jesus said, he knew he didn't understand. He said, because yeah, he's thinking, can I enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, except you be born again of water and spirit. Then he changed up his statement a bit because he said, except you be born of water and spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so the first statement, he said, you can't see it. You can't begin to understand it unless you're born again. But the second statement, he said, you can't enter into it unless you're born of the Spirit. And once you're born of the Spirit, it allows you, empowers you, because in Acts, 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. See, so you need that power of the Holy Spirit, amen, to enter into and to begin to operate in the kingdom of God. But oftentimes we still don't allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. You know, how many times have we heard the statement or even made the statement ourselves, well, I got the Holy Spirit, or I got the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Right? Anybody in here ever heard that? Or said that? Let me see hands. Come on. I got the Holy Spirit. But see, sometimes that's the problem. Yep. You got it.
You got him. You don't have you.
But it don't got you.
Come on now.
See, and see, we got to make up in our mind who's in control. Who's in charge, I see that it's a sad state of the church, amen, when we know him and we love him, amen, and we want to serve him and operate according to his will, amen, we want to walk in his righteousness, but yet we still struggle with this earth suit. Uh-huh. This meat suit, as someone called it, amen, we still suffering and struggling with this flesh. Because this flesh wants to have its way, amen. And oftentimes we find ourselves, anybody ever made the statement, I got needs or I can't help it.
Come on,
Pastor David. I can't help it. And then we'll say God understands. And that's a very true statement. He does understand that you're not doing his will. Right? He knows, amen. And he's not pleased with that. He loves you. He loves me, but when we go awry, when we go astray, it does not please our Father. And it demonstrates that we have yielded ourselves completely to him. So how do we get there? How do we overcome these issues that, are so prominent in the church? Amen. See, I'm talking about the church because we know the world without Christ, they're going to do whatever anyway. Right? But when we have come into his presence, into his kingdom, amen, and we don't understand how it operates, then we, like I said, we bring in what we do know, and that's not his will, not his ways, but what we learned before we came to him. We continue to operate. Amen. So it's sad to see this in God's church. Amen. But I see it everywhere I go. I see it when I talk to people. I see it in the situations and the circumstances we find ourselves struggling with. I see it, amen, when we don't have the power and the strength to overcome what seems to be little things. I know. Sometimes we look and say, well, you're strong there, but what about where you're weak? Just tell someone next to you, we all weak. Without God. We ain't got no spiritual strength, right? We got spiritual knowledge. There's a difference, right? But we don't have no spiritual strength because the Holy Spirit is what gives us the strength and the power. But if we don't know how to yield to him, amen, then it's still a futile effort. Amen. So we want to get to a place, amen, that we want to be able to let God have his way. So it's how do we yield, amen, and overcome the problem that we tend to have in this flesh? The hurts that still rule us, amen, the pain, amen, that causes us to react rather than to respond. All those types of things that we find ourselves dealing with. I'll submit to you, amen, that the real problem, amen, is not so much that we don't love the Lord as it is that we don't know how to yield to him. Let that sink in for a minute. It's not hard because, as a young boy, I loved my parents. I did. I loved them. But I didn't always yield to their rules. Right? Now, I know I'm not the only one in the room. You know, but when Dad would come home, we know how to straighten up and fly right. You know, if the authority was there, we'd line up. But when the authority is not there, so when we come to church, we line up. When we're around certain saints, notice I said certain, not all, because some of them are there with you. But, you know, when we're around certain saints, we know how to say praise the Lord. I'm blessed in the Lord. Others, you know, we let our hair down. So to say. And they know the real you. Right? You know, so we got to get to a place to where we become like Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. We're going to be just like him. Whatever you see here, you see on my job, you see in my home, you see when I'm mad, you see when I'm happy, same, because I've yielded myself to him in every situation, in every circumstance, amen. So I want us to stop and think. What's stopping me? What makes it difficult? We love him. Yes, we do. You know, but we got some overcoming still to do. Right? Amen. You know, sometimes we make the statement when things are pressing up on us. Y'all know what it is. What is it? You know, we make that statement when someone say, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that. What was that? There it is, right there. I didn't even have to say it. Now let me see your hand if you ever said that. I'm not there. Oh, come on, don't be shy. It's in the room. Tell somebody it's in the room. It's in the room, amen. You know, God wants to help us. He wants to help us to overcome us. Overcome ourselves. Amen. So I want to share something with you today as we dig into the word that might help us to be able to yield to him. You know, one thing I was listening to someone the other day and they were talking about, and this thing just been running through my mind. And he was even, as I went into the living room, we had the Christian channel on, and he was talking about righteousness. And that's one thing that I've been meditating on, righteousness. And oftentimes no one wants to explain what is righteousness. Amen. So sometimes we think it's some big lofty, you know, spooky word, you know, are you righteous, the righteousness, you know, but it's just that simple. Yes. It's being in right standing with God. It's nothing spooky. Amen. And let's be real. Don't raise your hand, but we know when we're not. We know when we're not righteous. In other words, we know when we're not in right standing with God. Right? We know. But what do we do about it? I'll let you answer that, okay? Because, you know, he wants us to be in right standing with him. Amen. And if we can't do it on our own, amen, we need to learn how to walk in the righteousness of Christ. Right? Because he was always in right standing with the Father. So in other words, what am I saying? We need to learn how in those situations where I don't know how, ask myself the question, then what would Jesus do in this situation? And when you understand that, then that's walking in his righteousness, because you're not doing what you want to do, but you're doing what you know Jesus would do. In other words, you're using and following his example, amen, in order how to respond in your situation that in your flesh you don't really want to handle. Like God would have us to handle. You know, see, I've been talking about kingdom. You know, I was looking back and I said, man, we've been dealing with the kingdom and talking about kingdom principles, amen, and understanding God's kingdom for many, many years. You know, and it's and the more I dig into it, even now, it's more and more. Understanding the functioning and the operation and the purpose and all that of God's kingdom. You know, and it's been well over 10, 12 years we've been dealing with kingdom, right? We got any kingdom people in here yet? I hope so. I really hope so. But I want you to go with me to the book of Luke. Amen. I want to just begin with a conversation he had with a young man. Amen. In the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. And this morning we're going to be talking about matters of the heart. Matters of the heart. You know, and as I was putting together this title screen, I didn't want to get one of those little cute hearts like Valentine's Day. You know, the little red heart got the little two bumps and it comes down so cute in the middle and it's just, you know, and it just looks so nice. That's not what your heart looks like.
No, sir.
The reality is your heart can be very ugly.
That's right.
Right?
Let me say it
like this. Your heart is actually a muscle.
Yes.
Amen. And without it, you can't live.
No,
right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and all the blood in your body has to pass through your heart.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But so what's in the heart's being filtered through your whole body.
Amen.
Right? Wow, you know, there's so much we can go into about that. But here in Luke, in the 18th chapter, Jesus is talking to this young ruler. And he says, and a certain man asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. See, Jesus is not revealing himself right away. He said, thou knowest the commandment. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you're doing good and all that, but you're lacking one thing. Huh? What are you lacking today? That's not my message, but I could go there. He said, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to get this done. Amen. But see, sometimes we got things we don't want to let go of.
That's right.
See, he's talking about his financial riches, but sometimes it's other things that we're holding on to that we won't let go of, amen, so that we can follow Christ. Sometimes we're holding on to them things, and they're holding on to us, and we can't get free, amen, in order to follow him like he wants us to follow. But he said, you know, give it to the poor, amen, so that he could enter in. He said, how hard is it for those that are rich to enter into the kingdom of God? And 25 says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Wow, who can be saved? But I like Jesus' response to even that question, because he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, when he's making a comparison here, he's talking about the eye of a needle, a camel, which was one of the largest animals they had, they dealt with back then. A camel, you know, he said, he gave him something that was impossible to even imagine. You know, can you imagine trying to get a camel through anybody sew in here? Sometimes it's hard enough to get that thread. You know, you like,
amen.
And how many times you miss? So then they got this little gadget you put it through there. Boom, you got. But he's letting them know this thing would be impossible to take place, to get this camel through that eye. And if we're holding on to something that's too big to let us step into God's kingdom, we're in trouble. You know, I think about how they, you know, I was watching this video years ago, and they were talking about how they catch monkeys in the jungle. You know, what they'll do is they'll set up a cage, leave the door open. Then on the outside of the cage, on the back, they will put some fruit. So the monkey has to go into the cage, reach through the cage, grab that fruit, but the fruit's too big for him to take his hand back out. But he won't let it go. So he's trapped himself because he just won't let that thing go. And all they got to do is walk up. He can scream and holler and everything, and he walk and close the cage, and he's done.
He said, conk him in his head.
What's holding us in that place? What is it? Amen. When we look at what he's talking to this young man, I don't think y'all took note, but what are the things Jesus told him to do? But if you paid attention, the commandments that he spoke to the young man, none of them had anything to do with God. Y'all know the Ten Commandments, I presume. Amen. But the five he mentioned here all have to do with people. And the young man said, I'm doing good in that area. You know, because obviously he loved God. We're not questioning your love of God. But when we look at these things that he said to him purposely, because Jesus could have recited all 10, you know. He could have recited, you know, thou shalt not have no other God before you, you know, and keep the Sabbath. And he could have mentioned the other four, amen. And then there's one more, which is thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So that, you know, but see, the coveting is what causes a lot of the other ones. But those four that he mentioned, those five that he mentioned, thou shalt not kill, steal, you're hurting people, you're going against people. Amen. You're defrauding one another, you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing to people. And a lot of times we love God, but right. So what are we looking at here? He's talking about matters of the heart. He's talking about these things, amen, when we get stuck, amen. See, oftentimes we don't have any problem with our our vertical relationship. We're good there. But it's this horizontal relationships. All them folk to my left, to my right, behind me, and, you know, in front of me, all them folk, amen. You know, make no mistake about it, this was not by accident. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Don't be a false witness. He said, all these things are dealing with people. And he said, we need to check this out, amen, because this is where you and I stumble. This is where you and I struggle. If I was to ask anybody, amen, that's in Christ, if you love God, yes. Without hesitation. Right? I love God. You know, I thank him. He saved me. He's done all these things for me. But if I ask you if you love your neighbor,
what you talking about, Willis?
You know. You know, we like, oh, well, you know, I don't like people. Those same, very same people that Christ died for, huh? Them same ones. Remember I mentioned last time I spoke, who was it I mentioned that nobody wanted to love on? See, y'all know, Jeffrey Dahmer. His mama loved him. Jesus loved him. Right? And I guarantee you, if he had repented, Jesus would have saved him. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I don't know. But I believe if he did, he would. In spite of all the things that he did that were repulsive. But yet, that's the God that we serve. That's the God we serve. Don't you just love him? Don't you just love like him? Oh, y'all got quiet on that one. Mm-hmm. But I want to just looking at this conversation that he had with this young man. He's trying to help him to understand, you know, that there's things that's stopping you from letting go. Because if, you know, he lets him know, if you just do that, come follow me, amen, you'll have in this life and in the life to come eternal life. Amen. This conversation in Peter, you know, and I'm sorry, in Luke, the book of Luke, amen. We'll go down to the 28th chapter. Let's continue that conversation a little bit. The 28th verse, rather. It said, then Peter said, lo, we have left all. You know, because Jesus told this young man to let go. He said, we've left all to follow thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brother or wife or children for the kingdom's sake who shall not receive manifold more. What's manifold mean? Plenty. Not just one, but plenty, a whole lot. Manifold. Manifold more in this present time. Notice what he said. He's not talking about wait till you get to heaven. Wait till, you know, you're raptured out of here. You know, you got to suffer now until then. He said, no, in this present time and in the world to come, eternal life. See, so you receive more. He said, because why? In Matthew, he tells us in 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, so I surmise that the Lord is not trying to take something from us. He's trying to get more to us. Amen. So that we can represent him like he deserves to be representative. So, and I look at this in Mark's account, amen. He adds a few more details, amen. Mark 10:29-30. Said, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Anybody can handle 100-fold more than what you got now? Huh? Amen. You can do a whole lot more, right? For the kingdom. But he said, you know, in this now in this time, houses and brethren and sister and mother and children and lands. Should I skip those next couple words? Go to the next slide for them so they'll see what I'm talking about. Those next couple of words with persecutions. He said, you receive all these things, but he said there's going to be some persecution there too. All right? Amen. To help us, amen. And then he goes on, and in the world to come, eternal life. So he said, you're going to be blessed. You know, even though if you just follow me, you're going to be blessed, then there will be some people ain't going to like you. You know, you might be blessed, but that don't mean everything is going to go your way. Right. Huh? And you might be, you know, close to the Lord, but everybody don't want to be close to you. Hallelujah. Someone said, well, I'm all right with that. On, Jesus ain't all right with that. Hey. Help us, Lord. We want to grow. We want to get close. We want to walk like he walks. We want to love like he loves. We want our life, amen, and our love, amen, to be attractive to the world around us. Yes. Yes. We want to make a difference, amen. We want to love on the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable. Amen. Huh? That's what Jesus did. Amen. Amen. We want to walk in that way, but until we understand how this thing coincides with his kingdom principles, it's hard to do that. It's very difficult to do that. Let's look at Colossians 2:12-16. And we're about to start digging, all right? We got the foundation out there. But in the 12th verse, amen, he said, put on therefore. Now pay attention. Amen. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now when he says put on, that means we got something to do. Right? He didn't say, I put this on you.
That's it.
Right? He said, put on. That means it's your choice to put it on, right? He said, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another and forgiving one, forbearing, excuse me, one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put this on. I want to help us this morning. Because when God showed me what I'm about to reveal, amen, I was like, wow. If we did that, we could do this.
Amen.
Right? But he said, and put it on, amen, just like he forgave us. And above all these things, put on, above. In other words, most important, above all these things, put on charity. What is charity? Love. Which is the bond of perfectness. Anybody here want to be perfect? Not. I'm not talking about in man's eyes. I'm talking about in God's eyes. He said, it's going to take love. Because that's the bond of perfectness. Wow. The bond. Amen. That's what holds it together. Is love operating in the dove. And let the peace of God, now this is the statement I want us to really hear. Let allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. What does it mean to rule? Take control. Have authority over. Right? You know, to rule. And when I read that, there's other passages that go along with it, but just that one, he said, let the peace of God. Have you ever been in a situation when you could have used some peace of God?
Amen, amen, hallelujah.
In that situation, did you choose to let
hallelujah.
The peace rule?
Well.
It's there.
Yeah.
We said that we got the Holy Ghost. But are we letting his peace? Or are we letting our emotions rule? Are we letting our feelings rule? Are we letting the ways of this world or how my mama did it rule? Or maybe how my daddy did it, I don't know. So what is it? What is it that we're allowing to rule in our hearts? To me, I'm like, man, and I know it works. Because I do it. It's like, Lord, you know, when I say, keep me where?
Near the cross.
Near the cross.
Hallelujah.
That's kind of like saying, Lord, you come take over right now.
Take over
right now. And I need you to rule right now, because if I rule, things ain't going to go well. Right? So, but see, we say, you know, if we would just let the peace of God, amen, rule in our hearts. And that word rule is the key.
That's it.
And that's, in other words, to submit yourself to the authority of God's rule in your heart. See, because the Bible tells us, amen, that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Above all things, who can know it? Your heart will deceive you. Your heart is, like I said, it can be an ugly thing. And that's why it's important that we learn how to allow the rule of God to take authority in our heart. Because if we let our heart lead us without God, yes, indeed, we are a mess. We let all that stuff that's piled up in our heart, all that stuff, amen, we ain't dealt with, all that stuff, amen, that the enemy's telling us and wanting to use against us, and we let all that stuff rule. That's why people look and say, if that wouldn't mean to be a Christian, I don't want to be one. Because the wrong thing is ruling at the moment. But if we let the peace of God, and that peace just represents a part of him. See, there's one thing I see about the kingdom of God. Jesus said, like I said earlier, his kingdom is not of this world. But he said his kingdom is within you. In order to be in God's kingdom, we've got to allow his kingdom to operate. See, he didn't come. Jesus never came and set up armies. You know, he had 12 disciples that followed him around. And one of them was crazy. He did not set up a castle or a palace or brick root walls and all that. His kingdom came. And you know where his kingdom must abide? Right here. In our hearts. That is his reign. And if we would get to the place to understand, if we let Jesus set up his kingdom in our hearts, that's where it's manifested. That's where we begin to see the difference. When people begin to see the difference is when God's kingdom rule, amen, is allowed to have our hearts. Because why? That's the place that we have the most problems. You know, Jesus, he's not so concerned about your external actions as he is concerned about what's going on in your heart. Because now think about this. As long as you don't let Jesus rule in your heart, your heart's going to rule you.
That's right. Yes, it will.
Right? And when your heart rules you, your body follows suit. And it does whatever your heart wants to do. You know, and so oftentimes we don't make the connection between our heart and our mind.
Huh?
I got Jesus here. But down here? Am I letting him rule? I love him. I know his word. Amen. And because I know his word and I know his principles, amen, I can do like the young ruler. I can do certain things that make me look good. I can do certain things that are external, amen, that don't really require a lot, amen, because, you know, I get to benefit from those things. But but when it comes to him ruling my heart, see, because think about it. If you let him rule your heart, it'll be manifested on the outside as well. See, so when we stop and we see, and maybe I just look in the mirror. I mean, when I see myself acting crazy, I know Jesus ain't ruling my heart. I'm in charge. My emotions, my feelings, my, you know, whatever it is churning on the inside, amen, that's what's ruling. But if I would just push back and take a moment, and what's the song? I forget who sang. He said, Jesus, take the wheel. It would change everything if we let him rule, even though you want to be in charge. Even though you want them to know how you feel. Your heart's saying, you know, because Jesus is in control, right? Your heart's saying, shut up.
Amen.
Your heart's saying, keep your peace. Your heart's saying, give him a hug. I want to slap him right now. Give him a hug. See, when the heart starts ruling, things start changing. And that's when the kingdom of God begins to be manifested in you and through you, because you're letting him rule your heart instead of letting your heart rule you. You know how we come and we say, I gave my heart to Jesus. But when things get difficult, we take it back. Right? We got any Indian givers in here? Time will tell. Situations will tell. Amen. In the 16th verse, amen, he goes on to say, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, listen, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace. Woo-hoo, singing with grace. Listen, this is with the heart ruling, with what God, excuse me, his peace ruling, right? Amen. He says, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Someone say, I don't feel like singing right now. But say this to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Now think about that for a minute. Whatever you do. Do it in the name of the Lord. So you got to pause and say, well, can I cuss him out in the name of the Lord? Can I slap the taste out of his mouth in the name of the Lord? Like, come on now, somebody, help me. You know, see, if we just hear the word, amen, can I just call up my sister and my bro and gossip about him in the, you know, we're gonna do this in Jesus' name. That don't even make no sense, do it? But I get it. We say, you know, bro or sis, we need to pray for so-and-so. We spiritualize the gossip. Because, you know, you ain't even talked to her. But you're talking to somebody else. But you spiritualize and begin, yeah, we need to pray for fellow C. That girl's supposed to have my cup done a week ago. No. Did you call Phil? No, you upset with her, so you don't want to talk to her. The Lord ain't ruling in your heart. Your feelings is. So you want to bless, you want to throw under the bus.
Help us, Lord.
So ask yourself the question, who's ruling? Is the kingdom of God set up in you? Have you really invited him to come and have his way in you? Man, this is a passage, a familiar passage in Matthew, amen, in Matthew 5. And it's in the Beatitudes. And, you know, even when I look at the Beatitudes, I can go through the whole thing and show you the same message. Amen. But in Matthew 5, 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. For what? They shall see God. The pure in heart. Now, don't tell on yourself, but is your heart pure? Towards all men. It says it like this in the message. He gets a little bit deeper. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your heart, mind, and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I like that. See, when you get your mind and your heart right, then you see God operating on the outside. But you got to get those two things in alignment. But then we go a little bit deeper. In the Amplified, it says it like this. Blessed, happy, enviable, fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace, regardless of the outward conditions, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, he just laid it all out there. Anybody qualified? Don't raise your hand. Even in that one. I mean, because he went deep. He made me happy. Enviably fortunate. If we allow God, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace. Wow. I love that because he said, once you understand the grace of God that has been meted toward you, that revelation allows you to change your heart, helps you to allow God to have his way in your heart, to rule your heart, because you know you didn't deserve the grace that you received. None of us did, but God gave it to us anyway. But on the flip side of all that, amen, when I go to Matthew 13th chapter, verse 15, it says, for this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull. And their ears, now hear what he's saying. And their ears heavy and difficult of hearing. And their eyes, they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes and hear and comprehend and the sense with their ears and grasp and understand with their hearts and turn and I should heal them. Wow. He said, what? In other words, they've closed their ears. They stopped their ears. You know, yeah, as a kid, did you ever do that? Amen. Someone trying to tell you something? Huh? You see, you already know. And you just stick your hand and nah, 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 nah. You. Because you don't want to hear what they're telling you. Amen. And I've seen people, you know, in the spirit, I've seen people in church. When the message is coming and they don't want to hear what's being said, they don't stick their hand, they just.
Lord Jesus.
Or maybe they'll I'm busy. Because I'm not trying to hear what you're saying right now. And I don't even want to see your expressions. Because it's hitting, it's cutting. You know, and it's, whoo, goodness. You know, that one too, amen. In the King James, it says, this people's hearts are waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. I don't want to be healed right now. I want to stay in this place. This is my power place. And you're trying to take away my power. No, God's trying to give you power to overcome. He's trying to give you power, amen, to be set free. Power, amen, to be able to walk in the love of Christ that he wants you to walk in. Amen, to be able to help. Now, see, the message knows how we do it. Because it says the people are, y'all say that word. That's what it says. I want y'all to say it first, you know, so you don't think I'm calling nobody no names. He said, the people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't listen, won't have to listen. Yep, he understood. Amen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. See, I'm not trying to hear you right now. Right? You see, y'all know. Y'all know. We have to get to a place that we allow the rule of God in our hearts so that when he rules, we step back. When he rules, we yield. And now we're able to do his will. Now we're able to function and operate like he wants us to function and operate. This is what God is calling us to. Amen. Regardless of what's going on the outside, we've got to yield our hearts to him. Amen. So we know how to respond in a way that brings glory to him, that keeps us walking in his righteousness, in right standing with God. Amen. And not allow our flesh, our heart, our emotions, our feelings, our circumstances and situations separate us from God. We want to be in that place that he can operate. Amen. And now people begin to say, boy, I see Christ in you. Huh? Because you never saw Christ act out of sorts. No. He's operating in a way. Anybody someone said, well, what about when he went and he turned over the tables in the temple? There was a whole lot more to that than I don't have time to get into, but he definitely wasn't getting out of sorts. He was that symbolized something that people don't even realize. Amen. And I'll just give you a nugget. Amen. And realize that, you know, he said, You've taken my father's house and turned it into a den of thieves. And then he went on to deal with the people.
Amen.
Because he's letting them know my rule won't be set up in there no more. It's going to be set up in the hearts of men.
Yeah.
And that way my kingdom can be everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just in one place at one time. You know, understanding that. So I want us to get it. I'm going to have to stop, but I want us to get it. I want us to be in a place. And we're going to dig into this some more, but I want us to be in a place that the rule of God in our hearts is number one. It overrides, watch what I'm about to say, it overrides me. Because we say that we want Jesus to be what? The Lord of our lives. We need to allow him to be the Lord. The Lord rules. The Lord reigns. The Lord has authority. Now, if you just want a Savior, I mean, yeah, he saved you. But now he wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to have the authority to direct your life and your actions, to guide you. To help you to walk in a way that glorifies him. Lord, help me to yield myself to you. Help me to be in that place, amen, to where your word is the final word. Not my circumstances, not my feelings, not my past, not my history. Your word dictates how I live. Your word dictates how I respond. You rule. Because I'm no more my own. Right? What's the scripture say? We're bought with a price. He paid the price on Calvary. And when you let him into your heart, it wasn't just in the living room.
Come on,
don't know how we do. We don't want him to go in the, you know, don't go in the kitchen.
Lord,
well, the mess is. Don't go in my bedroom where things are a wreck. No, he wants to rule the whole thing. Because he's the one that can help you get those messes together. He's the one that can help you get things in order by allowing him to rule your heart. Let's stand. You know, a familiar passage, amen, in Proverbs, it says this, 3:1. My son, forget not my laws, and let not thy heart, thy heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. See, our heart is where it's all. That's the issue. So shalt thou find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. What did I say? When we allow his word to have its way, now we find favor in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Not just the living room. All thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. All your ways, acknowledge God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want to yield our hearts to him. We don't want that that thing ruling us. All the stuff that's crept in. I think back years ago when there was things that were yet in my heart that were ugly. Yet in my heart that didn't allow me the liberty and the freedom to do and to be who God really wanted me to be. So I had to get to that place to just give my whole heart over to him with all the mess. Say, help me, Lord. And he did it. Oh, yeah, he did it. He changed my heart because I allowed him to come in and be the ruler. So when things happen, amen, I'm able to respond in a different way. Not from my own perspective, because my perspective can mess me up. But I always have to step back with my action, with my choice, with my decision, be pleasing to God. Lord, you show me, you lead me, you guide me. You're the Lord of my heart. You're the Lord of my life. And that's what he wants for every single one of us, is to be in that place. So if you're here this morning and you're still struggling with your heart issues, matters of the heart, you know how it is. Things creep into our heart. And sometimes it's hard. I'll go so far just to go and say it's painful to let them go. But Jesus is a healer. I say he's a healer. He will heal your heart. You know, I saw how his word is a sharp, quick, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged. So he can do what the surgeons can't do. He can go in there and do microsurgery and remove those things from your heart and not kill you. And then turn around and heal that heart. Because I don't want to deny anybody's hurt. Anybody's circumstance. No, he's not about denying it, but he wants to heal it. He says, give it to me. Let me rule. Let me be the one to help you through it. And when you do that, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. We let that peace rule in our hearts. Yeah, I know you were done wrong. I know you was hurt. I know that these situations didn't feel good. But God knows it too. Yes, he does. And he loves you enough to not want you to stay there. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. But he said, he does not want you carrying the baggage of hurt, pain, rejection, unbelief, low self-esteem. He doesn't want us carrying that baggage. Thank you. But he says, come and let me heal it. Let me be the ruler of your heart. So even in the midst of all these things, you can still have peace. People don't understand how you could go through this and you could go through that and you can still have peace. That's because you're not ruling. He is. So I invite you, if you're here and you're still dealing, you say like that, come. Come. And it's not coming to me, it's coming to him. It's surrendering that hurt. It's surrendering your power, your authority over it. And it's giving him rule. It's giving him rule. He knows how it has affected you. That's why he wants you to give it to him. Because he does not want you carrying it any longer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you right now. Oh, Father, we give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By your spirit, Lord. Have your way in this place. Lord, as I stand before your people, God, Lord, I lift you up right now, Lord, the lover and the healer of our souls, God, the healer of every heart, Lord, as we yield, Lord, that you can come in, Lord, and we allow you to come and set up your kingdom rule in our hearts, Lord. You set up, Lord. You take authority. You take control. You allow your power, God, to override us. I surrender. I surrender my heart to you. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands, amen. If you surrender your heart, I surrender my heart. I surrender it to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm tired of ruling. It's weary. Lord, it's weary. It takes too much out of me. I acknowledge it's stealing things from me. It's holding me back. It's stopping me from being able to give you my all. You're not looking for the external things that I do. You want my heart, God. It's not how well I serve. You want my heart, God. It's not how good I look in front of everybody. You want my heart. So, Father, we come right now, Lord. And I pray, Lord, with my brothers and sisters that have come to this altar, even those at the seat, Lord. You know our hearts. And you know that your word told us, God, that it's deceitful. Lord, it'll fool us to think we're okay when we're hurting. It'll fool us to think we're okay, Lord, when it's causing us to be separated in ways that you don't want us separated. So we pray right now over our hearts, Lord. I yield my heart. I surrender my heart to you right now in the name of Jesus. You take authority. You take control, Lord. Set up your kingdom in my heart, Lord, so I can follow your kingdom rule. Your way of doing things, God, not mine. Your way of doing things, Lord. Even though it's contrary to mine, Lord. It don't make sense to me sometimes, God, but I want to do your will. I want to be obedient, Lord, to your word, Lord, as you set it up in my heart. So help me right now, Lord. Help me to understand, Father, that I'm not losing, but I'm gaining. I'm gaining. I'm gaining. I'm gaining strength, Lord. I'm gaining strength. I'm gaining freedom. I'm gaining deliverance from these things, God, that have held me back and held me bound. I surrender them to you, God, that I can be set free in the name of Jesus. Break every stronghold. Break every yoke, God, as you take authority, as you take control. Have your way in us, God. Have your way in each and every one of us, Lord, that our hearts, our souls, our minds, that's why you say it in your word, to serve you with all our heart. With all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength to give it to you, God. So no matter what my external condition is, I'm giving you my all. I'm following your rule. And when I do, God, your peace can rule. Your peace can rule in the most chaotic situations. Your peace, I pronounce your peace over the hearts of your people, God. Your peace that passes our understanding, God. Say, how can these things be? But Lord, you said with you, all things are possible. There ain't no I can't, because with you I can. So I thank you right now. We thank you right now. We give you glory right now, Lord. Touch and bless your people right now, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here and you haven't given your life to the Lord, I invite you to come. Amen. And maybe you need to recommit yourself. I invite you to come and let him have your heart. He loves us so much. He wants to continue to set us free in every area of our lives. We got to accept him. Hallelujah. Don't you just love him today? Thank you, Jesus. And finally, if there's anybody here that doesn't have a church home, they want to be a part of Living Faith, I invite you to come. You know, just to get connected, to get on board, amen, to bring your gifts and your talents, amen, so we can grow together and be who God wants us to be on every hand. He's doing it. He's doing the work. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Amen. For his goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all here today? To join today? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. All the rest of the families in the back. Amen. We thank God for Jahai and his wife, Adrian. God, been here for a minute. We're now joining to be a part. Amen. We thank God for the gifts. Amen. We thank God for having you with us. Amen. And we look forward to doing greater things by the kingdom of God. Amen. Watching somebody blossom. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's make sure we give them a Living Faith welcome, amen, as we get ready to release you, amen. I know right after service, amen, we, a couple things, we're going to just have a brief members meeting, and following that, we do want to do our presentation. Oh, okay. Amen. Come on. Michelle. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just want to pray for our sister Michelle. Amen. And so that she paid her tithes today for the first time. Amen. 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 Well, she wants to do that, so we want to pray. Because you know what? You know, in this area, it takes faith to step out when you haven't done it before. Amen. It takes faith to step out, amen, and to be obedient to God's word, amen. And it can be a little scary, but he said, prove me. You've proven him. And watch, won't he do it? Won't he meet your needs and more? What did we just read in the scripture? He said, all these things? Added to you. So let's reach our hands toward her. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for our sister, God. We thank you for her step of faith.
Yes,
Lord, and her step of obedience. And she allows you to rule even in the area of her giving.
Yes,
Lord, to give according to your word, God. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we know you will show yourself strong on her behalf. That you will not let her down, God. But as you said, prove you, God, and she's stepping out, Lord. And we know by your word, Lord, and by our own experience, that you will meet her every need. Lord, that you will show yourself strong, Lord, in this area, and not just in the area of finance, Lord, but whatever area you see that the need is, God. Your word said you put a body on the seed.
Yes, God.
She's putting the seed in the ground. You put a body on it, God, that it would be able to give her what she needs, Lord. No matter what the circumstance and situation, we thank you for her step of faith, Lord, and we bless her giving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we'll have our announcements. Amen. And like I said, we're going to have we got a small lunch for everybody so nobody has to run off and grab something to eat. Amen. Because you're going to want to be here. Amen. For our presentation. And so we'll go ahead and hallelujah. We're just going to pray. Amen. Oh, that was up there already. Thank you for being awesome. Hallelujah. Yeah, if everybody can just go ahead and grab your lunch real quick, and then we'll be ready to get started. It is 12:35. 12:35. 12:35.
Can we put this video on the website?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some people, like Sarita, she can't be here, but she wanted to see it, so just in case.
Yeah.
And also, did you see the, is your mic still on?
Is it? No.
Paradise. No complaints. Yep, good to see y'all.
Yeah, you too.
I gotta tell you something.
All right.
So, Mr. Bill.
You got a microphone, sir? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Check, 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 check. Hey, hey. Check. Check, check, check.